Drama International. One cold night last winter, a young man named Kenneth Taggart decided to take matters into his own hands. The events that followed represent the most bizarre murder case ever written on the police records of Moline, Illinois. Moline is one of the so-called tri-cities on the banks of the Mississippi. The other two being Rock Island, Illinois, which lies adjacent to Moline on the east side of the river, and Davenport, Iowa on the western bank, connected to Rock Island and Moline by bridges. Kenneth Taggart lived in Rock Island. And as we first see him, he's seated in a small delivery truck parked at a trolley intersection. It's almost 11 o'clock at night, and young Taggart has his motor running to keep warm. Young Kenneth Taggart is in love with Marilyn Evans, and it's because of her that he keeps this lonely vigil. During the Christmas rush, Marilyn has been working at one of the big department stores in Davenport, and during these last few nights before the holiday, the store has remained open until 9:30.
She ought to be back in Rock Island by now. If she's not on this next trolley, I'm going to find out a few things. If she's brushing me off for some other guy, I'll...
Taggart's eyes pierced the gloom as the trolley came to a stop. As the trolley moved on, he saw a girl standing in the glow of a streetlight. His girl.
Marilyn! Marilyn, it's me, Ken. I'll give you a lift home.
You shouldn't have waited all this while, Ken. I told you on the phone that I'd be working late. I told you I'd get home by myself.
Well, climb in. It's cold.
I don't think I should, Ken.
What? Do you think I've been waiting an hour just to be brushed off again? Get in here.
Let go of me. Don't you dare push me like that.
Then get in.
Now, Ken, there's no reason to have another scene. Please drive me straight home.
I'll drive you home after I find out a few things.
Please, Ken, turn the motor back on. We've said all there is to say, and I'm tired.
When I phoned you at the store tonight, why didn't you let me come over and pick you up?
Well, because I've...
Are you ashamed to be seen in this truck? Are you ashamed because I'm in business for myself? Is anything wrong with a laundry service for restaurants?
Of course not. I'm not ashamed of anything. Will you please drive me home?
Then there's somebody else. Go ahead, deny it. There's somebody else, isn't there?
Ken, can't you understand? There isn't anybody else. There can't be anybody else. As long as I have Mother to support, I can't think of things like that.
I told you I'd support her, didn't I?
I know, I know. But it'd never work. Nobody can mix marriage with... Oh, there's no use talking about it. I can't even think of you or anybody else as long as Mother depends upon me.
Then we'll just have to get rid of your mother, that's all.
Ken!
Oh, I'm sorry.
You drive me home this very minute, or I'll get out and walk.
I said I was sorry, didn't I?
Are you going to drive me home?
Okay. Okay.
I know it's hard to feel the way you do, Ken. And it's hard for me to feel the way I do, too. That's why I've been trying not to see you.
Well, that doesn't make any sense. We're in love, aren't we?
It makes a lot of sense. As long as we know we can't go on with it because... Well, because...
Because of your mother.
Yes. As long as we know we can't go on, then it's better to not see each other at all. Isn't it?
No. No, no, it isn't. Oh, you're driving me nuts. You got me absolutely screwy.
Ken, where are you going? What are you trying to do?
Well, you'll see. You'll see.
Turn around and take me home, or I'll open the window and scream.
Don't touch that window, Marilyn. Don't touch it, or so help me, I'll...
Ken, put down that wrench. Don't, Ken. Don't!
About an hour later, a frantic mother was on the phone talking to the Rock Island police.
But she's not that kind of a girl. If Marilyn had planned on staying out this late, she would have phoned me. I know she would. If I could leave this wheelchair, I'd go out and look for her myself. Well, please check all the hospitals. There might have been an accident. Well, yes, of course I'll call you if she comes in, but it's after midnight, and I have a terrible premonition. Yes. Yes, this is Mrs. Evans. Oh, but have you checked them all? Yes, yes, of course I'll wait up for you. Do you think I could sleep? Do you think I could possibly sleep? Just a minute, please. Just a minute. I've unlocked it. Come in, please. Come in.
Excuse me. Terribly sorry.
It's all right. I'm very awkward with this wheelchair sometimes. You're from the police?
My name's Spencer. Ed Spencer, missing persons detail. A word from your daughter, eh?
Something's happened to her. I know something terrible's happened. It's after 4 o'clock, Mr. Spencer.
Mrs. Evans, at any time during the night, that is, any time after 9:35, did you hear a noise at the front door?
No, I heard nothing. Why do you ask?
Well, some of the girls you worked with saw your daughter get on a Davenport streetcar at 9:35. So far, we haven't located anyone who's seen her since.
Then she started home and somebody... Why did you ask about a noise at the front door?
Because when I arrived a few minutes ago, I found this note pinned to the front door.
A note? Is it from Marilyn?
I'm afraid not, Mrs. Evans. It's a ransom note.
Ransom?
I'll read it to you. If you want to see your daughter alive...
Oh, Marilyn. Marilyn.
If you want to see your daughter alive, leave $2,000 in a brown paper bag next to your garbage pail. Do not tell police so you will never see your daughter again.
$2,000? But I'm penniless. I've been unable to work since my illness. Marilyn has had to support me. Where will I ever...
Please, Mrs. Evans, I want you to listen to me. There may be more to this note than meets the eye, and we'll have to work fast. I want you to give me a list of all the acquaintances Marilyn has ever mentioned to you. Especially any boys she might have been running around with.
Anyone she knows would know that we're a poor family. They'd know that we haven't $2,000.
Will you give me the list, please, Mrs. Evans?
The brown paper bag. I must leave the brown paper bag by the garbage can before they kill her.
Then you have $2,000?
I'll get it. I'll get it.
Mrs. Evans, I think the most important thing right now is to round up every suspect we can get our hands on. I must insist that you give me a list of your daughter's acquaintances right away. A complete list, Mrs. Evans. As complete as you can make it.
Hmm. Wake up in there. Wake up. Huh?
Oh, what? Is that you, Mac?
It's the police, Taggart.
Huh? Police? Hey, Mac, what is this? Don't let me get that light out of my eyes.
I couldn't do nothing about it, Kenny. This man woke me up and said he had to see you.
See me what for? What do you want with me?
Where have you been since 9:30 tonight, Taggart? Speak fast.
Since 9:30? I've been asleep. I get up at 6 in the morning, you know, and I've been right here in bed since 9 o'clock.
Since 9 o'clock, eh? I suppose you can prove that?
Prove it? Sure. My landlord can tell you. What about it, Mac? Didn't I see you just before I came up to bed?
Why, sure you see me at the bottom of the stairs. He asked me what time it was so as he could set his alarm clock, and it was just 9:05, as I recollect, and he ain't been downstairs since.
Okay. Look, Taggart, do you know a girl named Marilyn Evans?
Marilyn? Sure. I met her once or twice. Well, she never went for me much, though. Sticks pretty close to her mother. Why, what about it?
Well, she... Go back to sleep. Sorry I bothered you.
You better be sorry, officer. Come around here at this hour, you'll have folks thinking I run a house full of crooks.
Yeah, I suppose so, but... Just between you and me, Mac, I wish I was looking for something as simple as a crook.
Through the early hours of that cold winter morning, Officer Ed Spencer knocked on many doors and checked many alibis. He might have spent the time better in bed for all the good it did him. He didn't locate what he could honestly consider as much as one legitimate suspect. And the mystery of Marilyn Evans' disappearance showed no immediate prospects of solution. He might have even advised a frantic Mrs. Evans to scrape up the ransom money if,
At about 7 in the morning, a certain milkman hadn't stopped to repair a tire on the Rock River Bridge along Highway 80 near Moline.
Yeah. What great tire changing weather this is. I'll be lucky if my hands don't drop off before this job is over. Where's that doggone lug wrench? I dropped it here just a second ago. What a break. I bet it's still along this ice and right off the bridge. Yeah, it's down there in the river. Well, somebody's going to wait a long time for their cream and their coffee. Hey, what's down there? Hey, there's a body or something laying on the ice. Somebody must have gone over the bridge. It's a woman, I think. Hey, she ain't moving.
Three whole days, the body lying in the ice of Rock River remained exactly where it was, in spite of every attempt of modern science to recover it. A powerful icebreaker tried to put out from shore, but the ice was too thick. The craft made no progress. In the middle of the river where the body lay, the ice was too thin due to the rapid flow of water underneath. The weight of a man would go right through. An attempt was made to push a small boat out from shore on the heavy ice and then launch it into the thin ice. But the idea was given up for fear the body might become dislodged and disappear in the currents under the ice. They even tried to get down with a helicopter, but the body was too close to the bridge structure for safety. It was a ticklish problem. If the ice melted the least bit, the body might wash away and never be found. The authorities were praying for a heavy freeze. A few hours after the discovery of the body, Ed Spencer brought Mrs. Evans in her wheelchair to the Rock Island Bridge.
The attire of the body, general description, matches your daughter, Mrs. Evans. But I want you to look through these field glasses and make positive identification. I know how difficult it is for you, but please try, Mrs. Evans.
Give me the glasses.
Here. I'll hold them for you.
Oh.
From the moment of Mrs. Evans' identification, Ed Spencer and the men of his department went to work in earnest. They tried to find some trace in Marilyn Evans' character that might point to a motive for her murder. But they were disappointed. The girl's reputation was spotless. And even under the cruel glare of rigid investigation, nothing was turned up to mar her good name. As far as they could determine, she had no steady suitor and no known vices. Apparently, her only love was love for her mother. The police were desperate for some hidden clue that might set them on the trail of the killer. In their desperation, they called in a handwriting expert to try and trace the ransom note. And they called me into the case.
So far, Mr. Keeler, we've been up against an impregnable stone wall. The girl had very few friends and apparently none of them intimate.
Men or women, Spencer?
About half a dozen girls and about a couple of men, as far as we can find out. Just on an outside chance of picking something up, I'd like you to run a lie detector test on all of them.
Are they all willing?
Yeah, that's what worries me. They're all so willing to take that test of yours, I'm afraid you won't find anything.
All the known acquaintances of Marilyn Evans were lined up for a lie detector test the next day. That is, all except one. No one seemed to be able to find Kenneth Taggart. His truck was missing and he hadn't been seen at his rooming house since late afternoon. If Taggart had deliberately run away, it was a foolish thing to do. For it immediately placed him under suspicion and the police had a general alarm sent out for him.
Here you are. Whiskey and water.
Thanks.
Hey, ain't I seen you someplace?
No.
You look like one of them people whose pictures was in a paper tonight. Ain't you supposed to take a lie detector test tomorrow?
Oh, shut up.
Well, no offense, mister. You probably just look like that picture, that's all. You know, funny thing about them lie detectors.
What's funny about it?
Well, a friend of mine's got it all figured out.
Yeah?
Sure, yeah. He says it's simple. They hook you up to some pens that draw a picture of your blood pressure, skin resistance and stuff.
Yeah?
Yeah. And when you're telling the truth, everything is normal. The pain's drawing an even picture of me. As soon as you lie, your pressure and stuff ain't normal anymore, and the pains draw a different picture.
Hmm. A friend of yours got it figured. I mean, he knows a way to beat it?
For sure. He says if he ever has to take a test, he'll just lie about everything. And that way, the pains draw an even picture all the way.
He'd lie about everything, huh?
Yeah. Sounds simple, don't it?
Yeah. Well, then, I think I'll be going.
The next morning, I'd set up the polygraph in a Moline hotel. And to the surprise of Spencer and myself, the first subject to arrive was Kenneth Taggart.
In here, Taggart. You know we thought you'd run out on us?
Huh? What would I run out for?
Where were you all night?
Oh, just riding around. I had new bearings put in my truck last week, and I wanted to build up some mileage to break the motor in.
Yeah. Well, it's all yours, Mr. Keeler. Well, you might ask him how many miles he drove in the 12 hours he's been missing.
Young Taggart seemed perfectly willing to take the test, and he made no objection when I adjusted the apparatus. He was perfectly calm when I started to question him. Now, don't discuss the questions, please, Ken. I said, just answer yes or no, or you'll delay the test.
Okay, I'm ready.
Tell me, Ken, did you have something to eat this morning?
No.
Is your name Kenneth Taggart?
No.
What's your game, Ken?
Huh?
Won't work. You're trying to beat me by lying about everything, aren't you?
No. I know what you're talking about.
Well, suppose I turn in a report that you lied to all questions. Now, that would include questions about the murder, wouldn't it? And if you lie about that, you'll look pretty guilty, won't you?
Oh, shut that thing off. I might have known I got a bum steer. I might have known.
I'll shut it off if you'll talk. Shall I call Spencer in here?
Oh, shut it off. Shut it off!
Ken Taggart has something to tell you, Spencer. I hope he'll give it to you straight.
I don't care what you think. I didn't kill her. I didn't.
Start talking, Taggart. Start talking.
Ken, where are you going? What are you trying to do?
You'll see. You'll see.
Turn around and take me home, or I'll open the window and scream.
Don't touch that window, Marilyn. Don't touch it, or so help me, I'll...
Ken, put down that wrench. Don't, Ken. Don't.
Oh, I'm sorry, Marilyn. You know, I wouldn't hurt you. I couldn't hurt you.
I'm going to get out, Ken. I don't trust you. And I don't trust myself.
Oh, wait, please. Please. I got to tell you about your mother, Marilyn.
What about my mother?
I talked to a doctor. She's got some kind of a complex. She's trying to keep it for herself. She'll fix it so I can't marry her, nobody else can marry her. She's crazy. She'll ruin your life, Marilyn. Oh, wait, don't open the door.
Nobody can talk that way about my mother.
Oh, Marilyn!
I never want to see you again. Never!
Marilyn! Marilyn, slippery out there on the bridge. Come back, will you? Come back! I swear that's the last I saw of her. I didn't know she fell off the bridge. By the time I got the truck started, she was gone. I thought she ran away and I lost her in the dark.
Now, wait a minute. What about that alibi of yours? Didn't your landlord say you were in bed from 9 o'clock on?
I did go to my room, but I came down later. Old Max snores so loud he never knows what's going on in the place after 10 o'clock.
Well, Taggart, it looks as though the state has a pretty good case against you. Come on.
But I didn't kill her. I didn't.
You'll never make that stick, son. Nobody could slip off that bridge. The railings are only 6 inches apart. Marilyn Evans was lifted over the railing and dropped, Taggart. And she might have been dead before she even hit that ice.
Before young Taggart was taken to jail, I ran another deception test on him, and this time he gave me the straight answers. But Spencer was so sure that he had the murderer, he discounted the polygraph record I showed him. That record indicated to me that Kenneth Taggart was telling the truth. He was not the murderer of Marilyn Evans.
Just a moment, please. It's unlocked. Come in.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mrs. Evans.
It's all right. I'm terribly awkward with this wheelchair. Come in.
My name is Keeler, Mrs. Evans.
Keeler? Leonard Keeler.
Yes, I wonder if you'd be willing to take a lie detector test.
I take a test? Why should I?
Because I don't believe you're as sick as you pretend to be, Mrs. Evans.
Oh, you have a mouse! You have a mouse in that box!
Would you like to see him, Mrs. Evans?
No, take him away! Oh, take him away!
Oh! I see you can move around quite easily without your chair, can't you, Mrs. Evans?
Oh, you... You... What are you trying to do?
I'm just trying to prove a theory that your doctor has had about you all along.
Then you know. He's told you.
Yes, he has. He thinks you've been deliberately pretending to be an invalid to keep your daughter with you. And your doctor is right, isn't he?
No one will ever take my daughter from me. No man will ever have her.
I know. Because you killed her, didn't you, Mrs. Evans? You killed her and wrote that ransom note yourself, didn't you?
Yes, I killed her. You don't need your lie detector test now, do you, Mr. Keeler?
Apparently not. You made sure that young Taggart would never get her, didn't you?
After she ran away from Kent's truck, she stopped at my doctor's and he told her the truth. He knew that I had money in the bank and was perfectly able to work for myself.
I know now how selfish you've always been, Mother. And you've made me hurt Kenneth terribly. I'm going to marry him. I'm going back to him tonight.
I couldn't let her go. Even if I had to kill her, I couldn't live knowing that a man had taken her from me. I picked up a lamp and hit her over the head with a vase. Then I sat her up in my chair and wheeled her to the bridge. I lifted her up to the top of the railing and her eyes opened. She wasn't dead, but I pushed. I pushed!
On the third day after the murder, the body of Marilyn Evans disappeared beneath the icy waters of the Rock River. To this day, it has not been found. The Rock River has many tributaries, and her grave might lie beneath the ice of Hudson's Bay or far to the southward in the waters of the Gulf of Mexico. As far as the eternal resting place of Marilyn Evans is concerned, the hidden truth is still hidden.
You have been listening to Drama International. Join us again next week at the same time for more Drama International.